Were there conflicts of program ideas and agendas between the recipients and the staff? Or
no, usually when the agendas were put together, the only staff people involved was usually Tim and George. Ed done mostly editing and stuff. Ed kind of, he was the first newspaper man that we had, so he wasn't into it a lot of time. As time went on, I think we had Hobart James before he came to the Washington office. He was in New York, but it was our decision for him to go to New York, because he had been down in Virginia working in the poverty program. And he had come, became a part of the operation, but based in New York. And he was kind of like coordinator for the citywide organization of New York. His name was Hobart James. But Bill Sanders was always the chairman. So Hobart was more or less the director or coordinator there. Then we had some other staff people, like Bill Patrick from up in
Boston
area. But Bill never raised their own money. You know, we had a Phil Perkins from down in Virginia. Then Tyrone Chapman was in Virginia. We had a Chuck. God, what's Chuck's name? Chuck was in South Carolina. Hadn't, because he finally moved out here. He was in South Carolina. Now, we had a lady that our first treasurer, who was Dovie Coleman out of Chicago. What we done, Dovie was elected treasurer. But then Dovie went off the board and became a staff person to do organizing in Chicago.
Paid by the Chicago group or by the national?
Well, the money was given to the national organization to hire somebody in Chicago. And Dovie came off board.
And was she the entity hired as staff?
That was hired as a staff person off of the board. Yeah, I think she was the first one.
Were there any?
Because I remember her salary was $6,000. And she really was into organizing and getting together, because she wanted a station wagon, and she had Ed to look for a station wagon, and Ed found a station wagon because she spent the whole $6,000 on the station wagon. But that's what she wanted to do, and it was her money. And he just made the contact that she was able to get a station wagon, because she wanted to be able to take people around to welfare offices and make meetings and conferences and things. She got sick. I think she passed away. I'm not sure.
Who were the people who were agitating around the recipients running the organization versus the George?
Well, I don't remember all those folks. We had some people within the office, I understand, that had some problems with George. But see, when it come to me with that kind of stuff, I just said, look, you gotta leave George alone. What George is doing, I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to try to do it. Matter of fact, I don't think I can do it at this time. You know, later on, maybe yes. I don't have the contacts that George has. You know, once I went to New York, I went to New York with George. George said to me, he had a meeting at a certain time. He kept watching his watch. And we was going up New York somewhere. I hate New York. And George had long legs, so George was 6'3" or something. So George run a half of the way, you know, he had lots of energy. So I'm not running, but I, so he said to me, he said, now I'm going to this corner, and I'm going to turn, and I'm going to go this way, and he took off, and so I was to follow him, because he had to meet with these people at 12 o'clock. So it's about 5 minutes to 12 now. He just showed me, go this turn and turn this corner here, and he took out running. Now, I'm thinking that George is going in the building to meet with some people. He said his fundraisers, funding sources. So he took off running, and I took off in a the best I could. Couldn't keep up with him. It was ridiculous to try. When I got across the street, George was meeting on a street corner with about 3 or 4 little short men with hats on. That's all I can remember about these men, and cigars in their mouth. But it turned out that they were little Jewish men. But they was his funding sources, okay? And he had 12 o'clock. They had both lunch. And they met on the street corner. I ain't had that kind of contact. So, it didn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I passed that on down to the other women on the board. So they didn't have a lot of problems.
So it was people off the board that promoted or challenged the idea that the recipient should be running the organization?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of them. Mm-hmm. But then after the 1971 election, mm-hmm. we did have people come in office from who were recipients, mm-hmm. who came in.
Right.
As I did.
But up until then, was this an ongoing kind of criticism?
I don't think so. We've had, you know, you have infiltrators, mm-hmm. and agitators, mm-hmm. and everything. I think you just have to be very strong in what you believe in. I believed in George. There were some other women on that board in the leadership believed in George. Now, if you think we didn't believe in George, they didn't believe in George. When we got to Detroit for the second convention, and John Lewis came with the stuff and passed out some information in writing that he shouldn't have, that we didn't think he should have, they had to hold, I remember Bruce Thomas, Beulah Saunders was about 5'11", if she weighed 315 pounds, if she weighed an ounce. And I remember sitting on the platform with the other ladies and George, John Conyers. I had a big lady, heavy lady named Bernadine. She comes out of Salem, North Carolina. God, what is her name? Anyway, they were on the floor. Catherine Germany was from here. Catherine weighed about 267 mm-hmm. pounds. And this little white girl was put up. Now, she did not know what she was doing. You could tell,
mm-hmm.
she was put up to do this.
Mm-hmm.
After John Conyers spoke, she attacked John Conyers and thought she was attacking George Wiley. She had went up on the stage. Bernie, that's what, walked on the stage. One caught her by one arm, the other one caught her by the other one, and issued her right on down the steps off that stage on out that door. But by this time, we know what's going to happen. Now, so I'm still sitting on the stage, and I remember Beauty saying, "Don't you move." And she went to the back of the room outside. There's an auditorium here. She went up the side, and she went outside, and John Lewis was out there. She said, "I told you, don't pass that damn shit out." And by that time, she was reaching for him. And Bruce jumped up on her shoulder to keep her from getting, because if she'd have caught him, she would have ruined it. They came back, Chrysler Car Dealers Company. We had somebody, one of them big deal's daughters that for Chrysler car people got us 9 cars leased for the conference. And when we came out of the conference, they said for us to be last. Now, I didn't realize that it was serious as it was. Mm-hmm. They pulled the car up, Catherine driving at the wheel, and said, "George, you, Johnny, and Hobart, get in this car." So, but I don't want to get in the car because I want to talk to the people. Get in the car. I didn't know that there was going to be any confrontation, not physically. That wasn't. So we got in the car. We took George and Hobart to his hotel. Then they took me to our hotel. And I got out the car. When I got out of the car, they got back in the car, and I'm still standing here. Where are you guys going? I thought they was going to party. You know, everything was over. And I wanted to go, too. I didn't know they had guns in the car. They went back looking for John Lewis and the gang. Mm. But I did not. That part, I was not
privy to.
I didn't know what they were going. Well, I thought it was going, you know, we were through with everything.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to party. They went back to looking for John Lewis and the gang.
And was this mainly staff people, or had John Lewis also mobilized recipients?
We think this little girl come from Wisconsin. She must have been a recipient. Mm. She was not a part of staff people. Mm. John didn't have a lot of staff people with him, but he was... I don't know what John had on his mind, what he thought he was going to do, because they said they wanted to talk to us. We told them fine. We would.
Mm-hmm.
Right then, we were busy doing something else, but we would listen to what they have to say. But he went on and passed out this literature, whatever this was he had. I don't remember what it was. But I remember Beulah saying, "I told you not to pass that damn stuff out." And she was reaching for him. And a lot of people... Beautiful, just a big person.
Mm-hmm.
Toss you that kind of way, you know. You had to be a strong somebody to deal with her, especially if she get mad.
Now, and was this the issue primarily the issue of there being whites? Was this the issue?
Yeah, some of that too. Some of that was about Tim and Bert but you see, what you gotta understand was Tim Simpson. Okay, but the kind of money that Tim was living off of, they wasn't no lavish kind of thing. It wasn't that they were living in big houses, that they had buying cars. So George was walking that little ratty car he had most of the time. I don't think Tim had no car at all. Maybe he did have one. Yes, he did have one. But he drove it there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it wasn't that they were living
right
high off of the hog. Bert and them were social workers. That's why Bert, he got killed last year. Bert's first wife left him because he was fooling around with us there, you know, working for little or nothing. When he had a degree in social work, and she thought that they ought to be, and it was all right to help some time, but you don't spend all your time here. So she finally left him. She divorced him. We had some attorneys, little attorneys that were in law school. So they didn't acquire, they had their own money. So, I mean, what were we talking about? We didn't have no money to pay no lawyers. The black folks like John Lewis, and to tell the truth, never did a lot for us and the organization. All the money, 99.5% of the money that we got came from white people. You know, white organization, white churches. We never got no money from no black churches. You know, the only black somebody that I remember giving us anything was Whitney Young before he got killed from Urban League. We got nothing from NAACP.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. But I know we didn't get nothing from them.
But,
I know we
churches?
Got some money from...
Why do you think the black churches didn't give?
Black churches don't give nothing now. You might go get something out of some turkeys or something out of them at Christmas time or something like that. And a lot of these, the members, a lot of these women that call me right now because they ain't get no check, belong to those churches.
So the church, the black churches have never been supportive of...
No, they have not. Not on a national level. Now, they may have gotten some of the local people may have been able to get some from their pastors or something. But I ain't never been able to get none from mine.
And do you think it's because they just did not want to have anything to do with welfare recipients?
I really don't know. But I know the Church of God in Christ gave money. The United Methodist Church, those are white churches, denomination, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, those are the people who gave the money. Not Baptists on, or Baptists on, or that kind of stuff.
And none of the AME churches?
I've never seen no AME church giving nothing. And I would have known about it if they had. But I never saw it.
So the
only conferences we had was with white people. Helen Weber, Herbert Birch, the churches at Riverside Drive, you know who they are, right? We had Lou Walker working for them, but lose black, but that's owned and operated by white people. There was a guy named Alan, somebody, he died. He gave money. I remember going to somebody's house on Park Avenue in New York, and this lady had all her friends over. They gave some money. Only black people that was there was us. Me and George and some of the other ladies. All the rest of them were white people that had some money.
Do you think this was class issue? The black churches didn't want to be involved with poor folks?
You know, tell the truth, black churches don't do that much for their own anyway. They get up and hoop and holler on weekends, and they get out and sell barbecue and pies and stuff and start off with a storefront church and build one over there. But when it actually come down to putting something that only, there are a few churches here, E.V. Hill, you probably heard of him, he'd be on TV a lot, Mount Zion Baptist Church, he do a lot of stuff in the community. This man right here, Tabernacle of Faith, the person that built that church, he died in 1982. He did things in the community, and he became an elected official, but he done things in the pastor that came after he did. He does some of the same thing. But you don't get a lot of that. They ain't interested in putting their money in their pockets. They don't do nothing to nobody. And I don't care if they know what I said either.
But it seems like part of the conflict between Lewis and whoever was with him and the rest of you was over that you felt that all poor people should be involved in one organization, and he was really pushing for a black, almost black separatist.
Yeah, well, he wanted, they, you know, they knew George was black, even though George's wife was white. Mm-hmm. He pushing had nothing to do with nothing, T and China. Okay, Tim is Jewish. Steve was Jewish. I know. Red, I don't know, I never didn't know what Red was. I think English. But Red was there when nobody was there. All Red wanted to do, George used to say to those guys, okay, what you need for rent? They said, my rent due, so you pay the rent. I need for food, you know, that kind of stuff. It wasn't you got this big salary check on it. That's not the way it operates.
But was the attack based on the fact that they weren't black?
A lot of it was. A lot of the folks saw, they didn't know what George's situation was. And they wanted to be where George was. We didn't want them to be where George was. We were satisfied with George where he was.
So they were really challenging his position in the organization.
And I've had different people who want to talk to me, and I won't talk to them.
So they would approach you to try and
if I got some problem with George, I talk to George, and we whatever it is, we straighten it out, and I'm finished with it. We don't jump, and I never jump up and hoop and holler on George in front of nobody. I holler at George where ain't nobody but me and him. But
what were the kind of things that you would disagree on, the two of you, when you would have?
We didn't disagree on a lot of things, but there were some things that you... I might not support what his thinking on certain issues. He didn't support mine, but in some way we had to compromise. I can't remember all of the kinds of things, but I remember we used to put things on the table. We finally made a joke out of it, and George would always say, but it's two things wrong with that. Okay, George. So I got to the place, I beat him to it. It's two things wrong with it, George. Tell me what your two things is right now. And I'm going to tell you what mine is. Sometimes I bend, and sometimes he bends. It depends on what it was, you know.
So it sounds, Johnny, like most of the time, the decision, up until the time you go into the office, that the two of you would work out the plans for the organization and then bring it to the board? Was that how it worked?
Yeah, they bring it to the board. What was it, 11 of us? And then we had the NCC, the National Coordinating Committee, that we also had to take it to them also.
Oh, so that kept going, the NCC?
Yeah.
So you had the
NCC went until there was no operation. Nationally, international coordinating committee. Every state had two people on that national coordinating committee, except for New York. New York had three people.
And how often would that meet?
I done forgot about that. Well, it depends. We had NCC meetings, executive meetings, usually met at the same time.
Oh.
So if we had a meeting today, if we were going to be in Washington this weekend, NCC came in early enough. So the executive meeting, then NCC meeting, and that kind of stuff.
So and there were 11 of you on executive?
I think it was 11 of them on executive board, and... sometimes all the stations show up. I remember, I know New York had two people from New York City, and we had one person and an alternate from upstate, and we had Claudine James from Boston. I remember Annie Smart is from Louisiana. Margaret Hayes, who later became an officer, came out of Virginia, and Nancy Willis out of Illinois. We had Bernadine Edwards out of North Carolina. And we had somebody out of South Carolina. We had Geraldine Smith. And later on, another young lady out of Mississippi. Somebody, Ruby Duncan out of Nevada. Runeo, somebody out of Baltimore. We had Ida Noble out of Arizona. We had Dorothy Hamilton out of Arkansas. We had, can't think of her name right now, but she was out of Tennessee. We had Doretha Henderson out of St. Louis. We had Vera Walker out of Kansas City. We had a lady, an Indian lady, from North Dakota. I think we had somebody out of Oklahoma. I don't remember their names. I don't think we ever had anybody out of Wyoming and Montana. We did have a person out of Hawaii, and we had a person out of Alaska.
So almost all the states were covered.
Yeah, had Marion Kidd and Ruby Grace out of New Jersey, and Liza Williams out of Connecticut. And that Michigan people, Mamie Blakely and some other people, I remember. Some people out of Wisconsin, came out of Madison, Wisconsin.
So with
West Virginia representation, most of the time, not all the time, they would come to the meetings because they would have to raise their money too, or get their money from wherever on the local level.
And so how often would it meet, do you think?
I think we met 4 times a year. Everybody.
Yeah. And then in between, you and George would work out things?
In between times, I was in Washington, or Bueller was in Washington, or executive board was in Washington. Or we used the telephone, depending on what the situation was.
Now, when you were first...
My thing was, George... responsibility was to run the office, not me. That's make that known up front. He is the executive director. The staff is responsible to him, or he's responsible for the staff, not me.
And how did, let me change that.